Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
This is the Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. For some reason, my IFB is not working. I have no idea why. John, is my things wrong? I don't know. The audience doesn't care, obviously. It's good to have you in on a Friday. I will make my predictions 1 hour from now for the championship games. We have Brandon Staley, new Chargers coach, who faced the Packers last weekend. Will be joining us today. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. It's Friday. We're here, and it's championship weekend.
It is. Let me start with this. I believe, as of today, the best team in the league is Green Bay. The second best team, as long as Mahomes isn't limping all over the place, is Kansas City. The third best team is Buffalo, and really close to the second best team. And the fourth best team is Tampa. Teams, Green Bay, Kansas City, barely over Buffalo, and then Tampa. I also believe if you held the MVP voting today, it would go in that exact same order. Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Tom Brady. We know it's a quarterback league, but more than any year in recent memory, this will be a quarterback weekend. You could say, whoa, what about Mahomes over Aaron? Mahomes is not 100% healthy. What about Josh Allen over Aaron Rodgers? He's never played in this game before. What about Tom Brady over Aaron Rodgers? Right now, athletically, age, it's Aaron. 9:02 Pacific, 2 minutes after noon on a Friday, Aaron Rodgers should win the Super Bowl and is the best quarterback. The other things to consider. This year, because we always know that quarterbacks matter, but this year we don't have a great defense to screw it up. We don't have the 2002 Bucks. We don't have the 2000 Ravens. We don't have the no-fly zone with Denver. We don't have the Legion of Boom 2013 in Seattle. Sometimes you may have the best quarterback, but a great defense screws it all up. We also, this year, have four what we believe to be B-plus to A coaches. Bruce Arians, B-plus, B to B-plus. Matt LaFleur has been an A in Green Bay. Andy Reid, Sean McDermott. So we don't have what we consider to be a massive coaching advantage or disadvantage to screw it up. We also don't have any team that's at a major deficit with weapons. Green Bay has got a great back, a great running back, good O-line. Buffalo's got Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley, and Josh Allen, frankly, is their running game. Tampa, loads of weapons. Look around. Nobody's got a weapons advantage. So we have no huge coaching advantage, no huge weapons advantage, no huge defense advantage. And this morning, in order of quarterbacks, is to me in order of teams. So I think Green Bay should win it all. I think Green Bay is the best team in the league. When you take out a defense to screw it up, a coach to screw it up, or an asset, weapon, disadvantage, or advantage to screw it up. And by the way, there have been 10 playoff games this year. The best quarterback has won 9 of them. The only exception was that team up in Seattle, which we all kind of feel like the coach, we're not sure if he gets along with the quarterback. The Seahawks, Russell Wilson struggled second half of the year, reportedly interviewing Adam Gase, not even sure why they do it, and if they did, why would you make it public? But I think we have a clear 4 best teams in order, Green Bay, Kansas City, Buffalo, Tampa, and that's this year, the quarterbacks as well. Let me go to this. So we know in the NFL, You know, every year we got seven new coaches, right? Some years eight, some years six, but it's about seven's your average. Yesterday, Philadelphia hired Nick Sirianni, who was not even the top coaching candidate on the Colts staff. This year was the year, in my opinion, of very interesting candidates and some really regrettable hires. Philadelphia hired a young man I believe they think they can control. Detroit hired a guy who I think sounds like a pro wrestler. The Jets hired a guy who many like, but can he solve their offensive woes with Sam Darnold? So we went back 5 years, and we went and looked at all the coaching hires for 5 years. How many end up being A's? So we went back to 2016. Doug Peterson, of the six hired, counts as the strongest. I know he was just fired, but Philadelphia won a Super Bowl. They beat Belichick. That's unfair to say he was a failure. 1 for 6 worked. The following year in 2017, seven coaches were hired, and it was a rare year where three were excellent. Sean McDermott of Buffalo, Sean McVay of the Rams, and Kyle Shanahan of the 49ers. 2018, 8 new coaches, and only 2 are home runs. Frank Reich, Colts, Mike Vrabel, Titans. The following year, 8 coaches again. Joy's shaking her head. A quarter of the league flushed out. Again, 2 home runs. Brian Flores of the Dolphins, haven't made the playoffs, but really doing a good job. Matt LaFleur of Green Bay. Now, Bruce Arians could make it 3, but his first year was a losing season, and I ain't sure he's doing the work here. It's Brady. And last year, 2 for 5 so far appear to be excellent hires. Kevin Stefanski of the Browns, Ron Rivera of Washington. I think both had a ton to overcome, and one of the signs of a great coach is ability quickly to overcome chaos, bad quarterback play. Now, I do think Joe Judge has a chance in New York, but I can't say A. So this year, we have 7 openings and 6 have been hired. And I'm going to tell you who I think the 2, because that's the average, you just heard me, will be the hits. Brandon Staley of the Chargers. Why? It's a great roster, a sharp general manager, and Justin Herbert. This would be hard to screw up. He'd have to really not know what he's doing to screw it up. This is made to win. Anthony Lynn got fired, and he won a playoff game a couple of years ago. The second one, and I know you'll bristle, especially the media, Urban Meyer. He's a proven culture changer. He gets a great quarterback, a ton of cap space in a goofy division. And like Pete Carroll when he came out of USC, Urban Meyer will, for the next 3 and 4 years, be drafting players he had on his roster, he recruited, and he faced. I believe that is a massive advantage. Detroit, when's the last time they hired a great coach? Jets, offense is a mess. Did they really solve it? Philadelphia, cap issues, old roster, a head coach with no proven track record. My guess, Brandon Staley, Chargers, Urban Meyer, Jags. If you go with league average for the last 5 years, those will be the hits. All right. So it's good to have you on a Friday. 1 hour from now, I will make my NFL picks. They are, I will tell you, the wise guys, that's what they call them, the sharps, I would not be a sharp. I would be a square. I'm just a guy talking, right? But the wise guys and the sharps like Buffalo. I'll tell you that. We'll discuss why they like Buffalo. If you're a Chiefs fan this morning, there is one thing that has got to scare you to death, and it's not Patrick Mahomes' health. It's not. As we often make picks throughout the course of the year, we look at trends. Joy and I have talked about this. People we have on talk about this. Aaron Rodgers this week talked about this. You're not the same team week 4 and week 12 to second round of the playoffs. You're not. Players get hurt. Young players get better. Old players get hurt. You're not the same team. There is a troubling number for the Kansas City Chiefs, and it coincides with a Buffalo Bills strength in the last 3 months. You should be terrified if you're a Chiefs fan. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Tired of cooking at home? Change it up without getting up. Order Jersey Mike's through their app. They'll bring it to you. No contact, Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. So the Lakers thrashed Milwaukee last night. They were in control late, though the score was fairly close, 113-106. The sports media, as I've noted before, is very good at spotting young stars early. At 13 years old, the media said, he's the next great golfer. Bryce Harper was 16, cover of Sports Illustrated. He's the next home run superstar. We've always done that. LeBron James in high school, televising his games. I think the media is very good at finding and presenting you, the audience, with the next star years before he's a star. We're not as good on guessing the teams. Before the Warriors won their first dynasty without KD, we didn't see that coming. The 91 Bulls were the fifth best preseason odds, and nobody thought the Lakers would dominate the bubble last year. They did. Let's go back. First round, destroyed the Blazers in five. Second round, destroyed the Red Hot Rockets in five. Conference finals, Denver was on fire. Lakers destroyed them in five. Finals, Miami was shredding people. Lakers beat them in six, and the Heat looked absolutely physically overwhelmed. And now this year, the Lakers just won their eighth straight road game over probably the best team in the East. Michael Jordan's Bulls never won more than eight straight road games. It's hard. You're tired. You're on the road. Today's Lakers, are we acknowledging they are really, really good? Even this year, we thought they would start off slow. They have two new starters, couple new bench guys. LeBron, they just won the championship, 18th year. He'll do some load management. Oh, no. In fact, the Lakers in the last 2 years, and I'm not going to count the bubble, are 34-6 on the road. Only the last two real dynasties, the 94-95 Bulls, the 2016-2017 Warriors. Not even Shaq and Kobe's Lakers were that good on the road. I don't want to hear, well, it was so much tougher. The Warrior stuff just happened a few years ago. To go 34-6 in your last 40 games on the road, it doesn't even make sense. We are good in the media discovering the gems years before they're gems. We're not as good predicting when the next Legion of Boom will happen. We're just not. I watched the Lakers last night toy with Milwaukee. Anthony Davis didn't even play well. Generally speaking, Giannis is the best big in the East. You have to have your big play well to beat them. Anthony Davis did not play well, and they toyed with Milwaukee. This is a really, really special Laker team. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, we are all awaiting the news about if Patrick Mahomes will be available for Sunday. He continues to progress through concussion protocol. He took the majority of the snaps in Thursday's practice, despite being listed as a limited participant. Andy Reid also said he looks good, feels good, and is moving around well. So obviously, we don't have the final answer on it yet, but...
I worry about the toe.
Yeah, I'm much more worried about the toe than I am about the concussion.
He cannot, if you cannot push off, you're not the same quarterback.
Well, I mean, you saw him very visibly in pain and not 100% himself in the game before he went out with to be in concussion protocol.
Yeah,
I'm much more concerned about that. Now, I do think that Patrick Mahomes is very tough and he will play through it and overcome, but you would prefer to have Mahomes at 100% in the AFC Championship game.
The good news, it's going to be really cold, so maybe it'll be like icing it the entire game. If it's like 25 degrees and cold, wouldn't it be better?
There's just certain things that you can't really just pop a tortall shot in and push through.
Yeah.
Like, they're just going to be painful the entire day. Like, a toe is one of them.
Yeah.
Your feet, any problems with your feet? Like, how Drew Brees, according to his wife, played through a torn fascia in his foot, a plantar fascia in his foot? I have no idea. Like, how do you press off? How do you cut? How do you do anything? So that's a far bigger concern to me. Not obviously we want Patrick Mahomes to be healthy, but I don't think that Patrick Mahomes has a concussion. I think he was choked out, and they're just putting him through concussion protocol.
Yeah, that's what we do now. Yeah.
So the Chiefs are favored by 3, according to Fox Bet.
I did tell you something. I'm not going to tell you who I'm going to pick, but Buffalo has every right to believe, based on some real clear data, they're going to win this football game.
Are you risking any dollars this weekend?
Oh, I'm betting games, yeah.
Yeah? You going to bet some doll hairs?
Yeah, I'm betting a few, yeah.
So the Jaguars have the first overall pick in the draft, and everyone expects them to use it on Trevor Lawrence, of course. But new GM Trent Baalke pushed back at the idea that the team's decision will be an easy one.
It certainly puts you in the driver's seat, but there are no easy decisions in the National Football League. Anytime you have the first pick in the draft and you're making a decision that's this impactful to the organization, there's challenges with that. So it's an extremely important decision, and I'm looking forward to going through the process with coach and ownership to make that decision.
But for the record, what I'm going to say is really obvious, but the Jags will not only get the best player potentially in the draft, they'll get the best player in round 2, the best player in round 3, and the number... So when you have the number 1 pick, you really should get 3 high-end starters and a 4th guy who plays.
Sure.
You're getting the best... Listen, when you're drafting 28...
You're getting the top pick of every round.
So you're... I mean, if you go look at the Colts last year. So the Colts did not have a first-round pick, but they had 2 great second-round picks up high. Who did they get? Jonathan Taylor, the best college running back, and Michael Pittman, a top-5 wide receiver. Both are stars. So when you draft in the first 3 rounds, in the top 5 or 6 picks of those rounds, you can make an argument the 3rd best player in the 3rd round is exactly the same player late 1st round. You're getting mostly the same level of player.
Yeah, that's fair. But I don't believe anything he just said.
Yeah, no,
I
course
mean,
not.
What are you talking about?
Just nonsense.
It sounds nice, but we all know whoever has the top pick in the draft is taking Trevor Lawrence. Of course, if you want to stay there in that organization, that's going to be what you're going to go for. Now, look, I do think that even if it's you're very obviously taking Trevor Lawrence, I think that you do still do a lot of research on him because you do have those other picks. So you want to be prudent in putting pieces around him that elevate what he does best. Now, he does do a lot of things well, but, you know, you're going to watch tape more closely, watch the tape where he struggled a little bit and see what kind of players you're going to want to draft and what his personality is. Like, yes, you're still doing research on him, but Trevor Lawrence is going to be the number 1 overall pick in the draft. I think you can count on that. So with the 2nd pick in the draft, the Jets have a big decision on what they want to do at the quarterback position. Now, this is an actual conversation. So at the press conference yesterday, the new head coach, Robert Saleh, gave a lot of praise to Sam Darnold, but he stopped short of saying he will be the team's starter next season.
Oh, interesting.
To give you that answer right now would not be fair. What I can tell you with regards to Sam is that he's got an unbelievable arm talent. There's a reason why he was the number 3 pick in the draft. He's fearless in the pocket. He's got a natural throwing motion. He's mobile. He's extremely intelligent. And like he's tough as nails. His reputation in the locker room is unquestioned, and then you can see all those qualities on tape and around the building and the way people speak about him.
You know, I'll say this. I have been pleasantly surprised with the New York media. So the New York media, they're obviously very talented people work in New York, but it would be really easy to just say flush Darnold out. But now I don't listen to everybody in the New York media. But of the people I respect in the New York media, considering that Darnold regressed badly, I have been shocked this week how many people in the New York media have said, no, I'd keep Darnold for 1 more year. Listen, if you put our, because we, I think everybody kind of liked Darnold after year 2. Remember, before this year, he really played well. But the New York media could have easily just said, hey, just get rid of him. It's incredible how much support Darnold has from the top broadcasters and top writers. Most are saying, listen, you're not paying him anything anyway.
Right.
Just go one more year.
Well, there's a couple things in play here. One, Adam Gase is clearly not
a head coach. No, he is not.
And
period.
I think we know that, and like, let's move forward with that. So I think that is playing a major role in how everyone is evaluating the entire organization, right? Also, when you're looking at the draft, do you feel, and I'm saying like the Jets organization or any organization, the Dolphins or anyone else who has a quarterback that maybe is still developing and you're not sure what you want to do, is the replacement that you're going to draft with that position that much better? Do you know that they will be that much better than what you have? Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville? Yes. He's better than Gardner Minshew or whatever else they have down there at quarterback. But at the Jets, do you know that Justin Fields 100% is going to be better than Sam Darnold?
We don't know.
What you do know is that pretty much any other position that you have with that second pick, you're going to get a great player at that position.
Yes, you
so
do.
So what is the value that you're trading there? Is it worth it to keep Sam Darnold in another system with a different offensive coordinator and with better pieces around him because you have 10 picks in the draft? Or do you go with Justin Fields? You'd have to trust that Justin Fields is going to be that much better.
Listen, if your second pick is Penei Sewell, then you have a left tackle for 10 years. You could use Becton, the left tackle last year, to your right tackle, and you literally have mountains at left and right tackle. You've solved that dilemma, which Darnold 3 years ago was running for his life on every play. Yeah, it's a really good point. If you don't go quarterback at two, you're getting a star 3 or 4 player at any position you choose.
And you need a lot.
Yeah. It's good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
So Bruce Arians just announced that AB is out Sunday, knee injury. Antonio Brown for the Buccaneers is out Sunday. With that, Mark Schlereth now joins us live, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Well, that seems, well, let me ask you, Mark, how substantial is that? AB's out.
Well, I think it's substantial. I mean, AB's still a really good player, and there is a rapport that he has with Tom Brady. But when you look at the rest of that roster, when you've got Mike Evans, you have Chris Godwin, you have Scotty Miller, and you have Gronkowski, and you have Cameron Brate. I mean, you want to talk about just an embarrassment of riches. That's what they have in Tampa Bay. So, yeah, is that a problem that he's out? Absolutely. Do they have enough players and enough really dynamic players to make up for it? Of course they do.
Listen, I feel that Green Bay-Tampa game is, to me, feels kind of simple. If Aaron Rodgers has time to throw, I like his chances. They put tremendous pressure on him early in the year. Vita Vea, you know him well. You've done Buck games. Mm-hmm. Very good player, will play. If I said today, just matchups and what you know about the league, do you believe Rodgers will be comfortable Sunday in that pocket?
I do, and I think part of that is Rodgers. Part of that has to be part of the way they run the football. I think part of that has to do with your snap count, your cadence, I think plays a big part in this. Like when you're blitzing a quarterback, you have to be able to affect that quarterback on the fourth step. You have to be able to make him alter his throw on the fourth step or have to be able to get rid of that football on that fourth step. And so if you can make that take 5 or 6 steps to get to the quarterback, well, then you've got time for the double move. Then you've got time to hold on to the ball and let that route develop. You go back to the first matchup in October between these two teams. They blitzed Rodgers. They understood. They squatted on the routes that Rodgers was throwing, and they effected that throw early, and he threw 2 picks. If it's 5 picks on the season, I think it's 5 picks on the season, 2 of them were in that game. One was a pick 6, and one went back to about the 2-yard line. So, like, they were able to affect him on the blitz package. Can they control that from a coaching standpoint with running the football, from cadence? Can they control kind of the pressure that you're going to get? And that, to me, is, you know, really the difference in this game. If they can control that, Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers will have great success.
You played some playoff games in Denver, probably won those games, played in snow. Tampa, warm weather team moving up, possible snow. Do you think it has any advantage or effect on the game at all? You've played in games like that.
Yeah, Not really. I mean, you know, it's cold for both teams. You just have to be mentally prepared for it. But snow doesn't, to me, snow is not really that much of a factor. Now, if it's wet and nasty, then that has, that to me is a factor. But just pure snow doesn't really, to me, it's not a really a disadvantage to throwing the football or to the offense. So I don't really concern myself with snow. And I, you know, Tom Brady has played in the snow and Gronkowski's played in snow their whole career. Those guys will be prepared for it. They're a nasty football team. They'll get over that.
All right. I like Green Bay to win. Your thoughts?
Yeah. You know, I do as well, Colin. I mean, I think that Aaron Rodgers is playing at such a high level. I love the way they dominate a line of scrimmage. You know, I look at a guy like Billy Turner, who to me was kind of, a journeyman type of guy. Went from Miami, then he went over to Denver, and he started games at right guard. He started games at right tackle. He started in the playoffs at left tackle. He has been tremendous for them. Their offensive line has been tremendous. They've dominated a line of scrimmage, and that to me is how you win football games. And I think the Packers have done a great job with that.
All right, let's go Kansas City, Buffalo. I kind of marveled at it. I said the Chiefs look like the first team in my life that's an NBA team. Great NBA teams can kind of just, you know, don't play with great passion or urgency. Then Shaq, Kobe, playoffs come. And they just flip a switch. In the NFL, I've never seen it work that way. New England played hard for 20 years. It didn't work that way. Kansas City sleepwalks through the last 6 weeks of the regular season, struggled to put away Atlanta. And then last week, their offense comes in with a hobbled quarterback. They just move the ball up and down the field. And I'm like, okay, what are we looking at here? Were you impressed, as impressed with that as I was?
I have been so impressed with them from the standpoint of I just don't believe in the flip the switch mentality. I just don't believe you can win that way. And yet Kansas City doesn't have a problem doing it. They are so talented. Their quarterback is so good. They do such an amazing job of creating different looks and adjustments as an offense. And it's almost to me, I think one of the things you have to fight when you're a really good football team is boredom. And I think Andy Reid has done a great job of keeping guys engaged through schematics, through formations, through personnel groupings, through trick plays. Something is different every single week. And I think that's one of the things that has kept these guys for the Kansas City Chiefs totally engaged. They are so talented. And you're right. They have the ability to flip the switch. I've never seen a team be able an offensive team that has that ability to do that. And I think the other thing about them, they're so overshadowed, their offense so overshadows their defense. They still have guys, whether it's Frank Clark or Chris Jones, guys that you have to have an understanding of how are we going to block these guys, right? Like these guys are guys that deserve double teams and that we're going to have to figure that out. So they're a far more talented team on the defensive side than I think anybody gives them credit for because their offense is so good.
Do you worry that Josh Allen is too much a part of Buffalo's offense, whereas Aaron Rodgers can lean on Aaron Jones and the Bucs offense? They've had a running game last 2 weeks. Do you think the Bills are too Josh Allen centric?
I don't. I don't think that's a long-term recipe for success, but I think you can win one game that way. And I think, you know, Josh Allen wouldn't surprise me at all if, you know, he's got a couple of designed runs, you know, five or six designed runs. If he's got a couple of scrambles that are off-schedule scrambles, he's just that talented. You know, the thing about Brian Daboll, their offensive coordinator, having a conversation with him, he was very adamant. And you don't have to run the ball. You just have to run it when you have to run it, right? You have to run it sometimes in the red zone. You have to run it on second down and two at times. Like, I just need to be able to do that when I have to be able to do that. Same thing with throwing the football. So they're kind of uniquely built that way. And I think part of the plan, obviously, with Josh Allen is he'll be one of the guys, to me, will be a main ball carrier in this offense. He's so big, so strong, and so athletic. That's truly 11-on-11 football, and I think you'll see them exercise kind of that aspect of their offensive football team.
All right. If you had to pick a winner, who would you like here?
All things being equal, if Patrick Mahomes is healthy, I'm taking the Chiefs. And I do think, like, defensively, I think the Bills are a really good football team. They don't have one war daddy that you're like, how are we going to block that dude? Like, you can go five across the board, 5-0 protection, get five guys out in the pattern and just go, you know what, we think we can hold up. I think they've got a great rotation. I think they've got a lot of really good players. They don't have that one player that truly threatens an offense. So you're not afraid to go 5 1-on-1s across the board and say, we're going to win with Hill. We're going to win with our tight end, Kelce. We're going to win with our receivers, and our quarterback's going to be able to deliver the football.
Finally, every year there's about 7 or 8 new NFL coaches hired. On average, we looked it up, about 2 are home runs. The rest get fired or just average. Yesterday, Dan Campbell at the press conference a couple days ago for Detroit talked about biting kneecaps. It had a very pro wrestler feel to it. Got to be honest, not a great opening presser for me. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it does. Your thoughts on that whole bite kneecaps, alpha male thing for Dan Campbell?
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't a great press conference either. I just don't know how much you really listen to that. The rah-rah stuff, like, some of that stuff, we're simple creatures and post some bulletin board material and it'll get you upset and whatever. But ultimately, you look at the Detroit Lions, and I did a couple of their games, their roster is not talented enough. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't care how many kneecaps you bite. I don't think there's anybody on their defense, to me, at any level of their defense, D-line, linebacking core, or in their back end secondary, that is an elite level player. So, like, you can talk about, your toughness, and you can talk about, like, whatever you want to talk about. You got to have players to execute it. And they just don't have enough good players right now. So, here's the other thing. Like, I have been in the locker room of a Super Bowl in a pregame speech where Tom Jackson was in there, and he told me, hey, man, that was the greatest pregame speech I'd ever heard before you guys took the game to play the Green Bay Packers in Super Bowl 32. He goes, what'd you think of it? And I go, I don't know. I wasn't listening. Like, I didn't listen to that at all. I go, I was focused on what I had to do to help my team win. I didn't hear one word Mike Shanahan said, so I don't remember any of it. Like, I think most players can tune you out because they've got their own issues that they got to worry about.
Good stuff, Mark. Mark Schlereth, Fox Sports. See you, buddy.
See you, bud.
Brandon Staley, Chargers' new coach, was the Rams defensive coordinator, did face the Packers offense and Aaron Rodgers. He'll be joining us next hour. Excited for that. Young guy got a job. Like to see young people get gigs. I think it was a year of good candidates. I don't love all the hires. I think some of the fits are weird. As I said, I think Urban Meyer to the Jags is going to work because of Trevor Lawrence mostly. You could do a lot right and a lot wrong, but if you got the right quarterback, it all kind of works out. I mean, you see Mike McCarthy in Dallas without Aaron Rodgers. You see Aaron Rodgers without Mike McCarthy. It's kind of an Aaron thing. It's kind of tweak Aaron, and he's great. Coming up next, the stat that has to worry you if you're a Chiefs fan. It's not arguable. It's just discussable. And we've seen it now for 2 months, and I don't think it's going away this weekend. That stat got to be terrifying. It's real. Next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Sure, good to have you in. Casper.com, code Herd. Cooling, supporting, comfort, dog beds, weighted blankets, everything great. Casper.com. I'll make my picks. One of them I'm betting a lot of money on. More than I'm comfortable with. All right. If you're a Kansas City fan, you win the Super Bowl, and you feel great about yourself. And this year, you're not losing, right? You had one bad Sunday against the Raiders. But I can see Buffalo beating Kansas City. It's harder for me to see Tampa beating Green Bay, although certainly possible with Brady. But here's a number that's scary. So 16 weeks of the NFL regular season, and then now we've had the bye week, a playoff week, another playoff week, conference championship, right? So week 12, that's a ways away, a couple months away. What happened in week 12, this is substantial. It's not week 3. It's not week 7. It's week 12, late in the season. This is kind of who you are. It's post-Thanksgiving. Kansas City's offense is 26th in the NFL in red zone. It ain't a talent issue. It's they're settling for field goals a lot. Since that same week 12, Buffalo's defense is number one in the league in red zone. Meaning, they don't let you in. They're great situationally. These are real things, and they have been for 2 months. So I can see Kansas City moving the ball, controlling the clock, and feeling like the better team. And the Bills hit on two big Stephon Diggs throws and win the game. Kansas City led Cleveland 19-3. But because they didn't get into the end zone, they missed a field goal. It should have been 23-3 or potentially with a PAT 24-3, game over. But again, they had to settle for field goals, and that game was simply closer because of it. So that is a number that is not going away. Kansas City is not getting the push in the red zone to run the ball and get touchdowns. So when I say struggling red zone offense, great red zone defense, what's it tell you? It's going to be a lower scoring game than you would think, saying Josh Allen against Patrick Mahomes. Lower scoring game means nobody's running away with this game. It's going to be really, really close. The other thing, and this is not a small thing, the Patrick Mahomes toe issue. He's not going to be at 100%. Wasn't that first touchdown against Cleveland running into the end zone? He couldn't do that afterwards. So you're not going to get Mahomes' kind of viable running options in this game. It's very probable. Eliminate that. So the Chiefs aren't running the ball particularly well anyway. Now Mahomes can't move. You become a lot like Buffalo. Very pass-centric. Now they're great at it, but to me it says very close game. It spells upset. It screams upset. Is that how do upsets happen when you have Super Bowl champs and great teams? It's not the game happens and they're not great, but they don't capitalize on opportunities. Kansas City last weekend did not capitalize, even with Mahomes in the game, on some early opportunities. Field goal, missed field goal, and Buffalo's defense is significantly better than Cleveland's. Like, not close. So that's those numbers, if you're a Chiefs fan, you're gonna be settling for a lot of field goals in this game. A lot of them. And you may dominate time of possession, but you're not getting a lot of sevens. You're going to get a lot of threes, and that keeps it close. I don't think Buffalo is going to score a ton either, because I think their O-line is going to be a little overwhelmed in this game. All right, sad news to report, but we look back at an incredibly dignified career. Hank Aaron passed away at 86. I grew up watching Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron started his career in Milwaukee for a few years, and sports was not as mobile then. Then he played for Atlanta forever. The most amazing thing to me about Hank Aaron, he played for 23 years and was a 25-time All-Star. How? Because years and years ago, at the beginning of his career, they used to have multiple All-Star games. Hank made those too. Hank Aaron was a very unique player. He didn't strike out much. Surprising for a guy with over 500 home runs. If you took out his home runs, he still had 3,000 hits. But perhaps most impressive about Hank Aaron is that he passed Babe Ruth, a very iconic figure, for the home run record. I watched it live on TV. Everybody in America my age did. He got death threats. His children got death threats. A black man in the South threatening iconic Babe Ruth. Yet he handled it. Dignity, class, also was part of many civil rights activities. When I think of Hank Aaron, I first think of home runs. But secondly, I think of class. He was all class. Let's play it sound up. I remember watching this live. I don't know why I think it was on a Monday night. I don't know why I think that. They used to have Monday Night Baseball was a big deal. I don't know why I think it's Monday night. But here it is. Do we have it?
Aaron waiting. The outfield deep and straight away. Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone. For baseball, what a marvelous moment for Atlanta and the state of Georgia. What a marvelous moment for the country and the world. A black man is getting a standing ovation in the deep South for breaking a record of an all-time baseball idol.
Hank Aaron, all class.